A very good morning to you. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Tech 10 for Talmud. We are recording from Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Nedarim Ayin, Nedarim 70A, pagination is 139. I'd like to start on the previous page, though. So we're starting on Samech Tes Amud Aleph, where we left off yesterday. Bo'i Rava, a question of Rava, five lines from the bottom of the page. You will recall in yesterday's session, we had a concept that a person hears about the vow of his wife or daughter and has the right, bo bayom, on the same day that he heard of the vow, to either affirm it or negate it, or remain silent. If he remains silent, then the vow will stand. Affirming it also will cause it to stand, but he does have the power to negate it, to say, I don't want that vow to take place, and it won't. Boi Rava, Rava asked the following question. Kiyem lichi, kiyem lichi. The man affirms the vow, and then he affirms it a second time. V'nishal al hakama rishona mahu. And then he does hataras nedarim on the first affirmation. Now, we discussed from the Ran, as the focus of our last session, that when the man, husband or father, affirms the vow, it's like a continuation of an act of making a vow. He's affirming it, and therefore Hataras Nedarim makes sense on that. However, in this case, since he affirmed it twice, and he only did Hataras Nedarim on the first affirmation, the question that Rava has is, will the second affirmation, which was on standby, so to speak, perhaps, actually take effect after the first affirmation is removed? Think of it like a person who makes two vows. I won't eat nuts. I won't eat nuts. And for some reason, he only did Hataras Nedarim on the first vow. The second vow still stands. And that's Rabbo's concept over here. Tashema. The Omar Rava. Because Rava said, Im nishal al harishona shenia chola olav. If you do Hataras Nedarim on the first one, the second affirmation will take effect. So even though the second affirmation was negligible, it just made no difference until this point. But if you do Hataras Nedarim on the first affirmation, the second one will now have room to be applicable, and it will take effect. Rabbi Kiva Eger considers a fascinating case where the person, the man of this scenario, husband or father, did an affirmation, and then on the same day he negated the vow, and then went on a future date to do Hataras Nedarim. Let's work out a timeline for the case. On Monday, the woman made a vow. On Tuesday, the man affirmed the vow, and then later in the same day, negated it. Changed his mind. But he didn't get to a Beis Din to do Hataras Nedarim on his affirmation until Wednesday. Now, we learnt in the halacha, yesh omrim, there are those that say, this follows very logically, that the hatora has to be done on the same date as the hakama, because if it's not, you won't be able to do negating on the same day that you heard it. He heard it on Tuesday. The only way he can undo the vow is if he negates it on Tuesday. So if he made a hakama affirmation, he needs to undo the hakama affirmation, and then he's got to still negate. He's got a busy day. He's got on Tuesday to negate it as well. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, could be that if he affirmed it on Tuesday and then negated it on Tuesday, so then the negating took place on the day that he heard it. It remains on standby, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, similar to the Gemara that we just said, where an affirmation could remain on standby. It doesn't take effect unless he negates the affirmation. Then the second affirmation will take place. Similarly over here, if you could undo the affirmation, then the negating that was on standby on that very day will finally take effect, and he achieved a negating on the day that he heard it. And therefore, if he only got to do Ataras Nedarim until Wednesday, but he managed to get a Hafara negating on the day that he heard it, even though it wasn't relevant on Tuesday, because at that point he had already affirmed it, but if Ataras Nedarim works retroactively and removes the affirmation, then his Hafara can take effect. This is the idea of something being on standby in the rules of vows. Let's move on to today's daf, Nedarim Ayin, where we have a case that kind of falls into the same basic category. Nedarim Ayin 70a, towards the bottom of the page, Masnisin, the new Mishnah. Meis Ha'av. If we have a woman who is a Naira Hama'orasa, she's of this certain age that her father still has some jurisdiction over her, and she gets married, the husband now has some level of jurisdiction over her, but the husband did not consummate the marriage with the chuppah, and therefore both father and husband have some level of jurisdiction here, and only if both would negate the vow would the vow be considered null and void. Mesa'av, now the father died, so he's not available to negate the vow. She made the vow, the father then died. Lo nisrokna l'rishus baal, she doesn't simply get emptied out into the domain of the husband to allow him to negate the vow single-handedly. However, meis habaal, if the husband would die, nisrokna rishus la'av, then indeed the jurisdiction gets emptied out into the father's domain, and the father becomes of full jurisdiction to negate the vow, and he would be able to do it single-handedly. And so, when there's a father and a husband situation, the father is almost on standby as a person to possibly be able to negate the vow on his own if the husband disappears from the scene, if he dies. In this regard, the father is more powerful than the husband, because if the father disappears from the example, the husband does not take over. But if the husband disappears from the example, the father will take over. He's on standby and able to negate the vow on his own. The Mishnah concludes, "B'davar acher yafe koach habal mikoach ha'av." In a different regard, the husband is greater than the father. Shehabal mefer bevagar, because the husband can still do hafara when she becomes of age, when she is old enough that she leaves the father's domain. V'ha'av eino mefer bevagar, but the father will not be able to annul once the woman is of age. And that's a very important but very logical observation, because a girl, as she gets older, she's one step out the door. And eventually, the father's jurisdiction, as strong as it may be, but it's going to expire. Whereas the husband's jurisdiction is only going to get stronger with time, unless acted upon by an unbalanced force, either his death or a divorce. But otherwise, under normal conditions, the husband's positioning will get stronger as time continues. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.